Cool. I've got my wine at the
Oh,
ready.
nice. Nice.
Blair has
Asahi soup, fucking super dry. This shit's
Bloody
amazing.
hell.
I feel left out. Now I need.
I've got a big jug of water. That's it.
Clean living.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass!" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
You're listening to Sapnin Podcast.
Sapnin!
Sapnin!
You are listening to episode 272 of Sapnin Podcast, featuring myself, Sean Smith, and my good friend, Morgan Richards.
Yes, it's me, Morgan Richards, and welcome to the podcast where one of us is about love and the other, well, is like a bullet farm of sharp tongue cobras.
No, they're both me, I think. Both of those. Anyway, this week's guests are Anna and Blair of Scotland's Finest. And that's an argument for another day. The Mighty Dead Pony.
Yes, one of the most hyped up bands for 2024. They have such a killer in-your-face energy, mixing genres. They've regularly been described as if a Scottish Nelly Furtado was fronting Limp Bizkit. They've even did a cover of Maneater like that, that you all need to check out. They've just announced that their debut album, Ignore This, is coming out on April the 5th. And as a pre-celebration for that, it says here that they're hitting the road next week for 5 shows supporting the Blackout.
Oh, what, the Black at the back? No way, I didn't know, huh? Are they?
So we thought this would be a perfect excuse to get to know them a little bit more, break the ice for the tour, and why, Sean, is so excited to have them on the road.
Yes, I cannot wait. Amy, Dead Pony's manager, reached out to me ages ago, and Hayley Connolly has been hyping this band for quite some time to us. So I got a chance to check them out, and they are fucking ripping. So, yeah, we offered them the main support. Cannot wait. They are a fantastic band, and after doing this chat with them, I can confirm they also seem to be lovely humans as well. That could be masks, and they could actually turn out to be evil scum. I will let you know after the tour.
Hey,
please don't be evil scum. Please don't be evil scum.
But if the tour is anything like how wild this conversation gets, you're in for a very good time. Throughout it, we're going to talk all about their history and debut album, the fact that they're inspired by movies, recorded in a haunted environment, a love for new metal, being stranded on the outskirts of a festival, and some peculiar things that they like to do on tour. That's pretty interesting, and you'll get to hear about in just a little bit. But Sean.
Yes, Morgan.
February the 19th, it's just around the corner. It's the start of the Blackout's first tour in 9 years. How are you feeling about it?
I am feeling good. I cannot wait to play the shows. I'm excited. I'm also completely furious inside because I keep getting message off the general public and it's driving me mad because we have not been on this earth as a band for 9 years. And people are messaging me saying, oh, I can't come to this tour. I'll come to the next one. Listen now. Currently, there are no plans for anything at all after the February tour and then playing Slam Dunk in May. So if you have missed the Blackout at all, come to the shows in the end of this month from the 19th to the 24th. We're doing Birmingham, Manchester, Glasgow, London. We are doing Cardiff, but that's sold out, so don't bother trying to come to that one. But the other one, come along. Come along and stop giving me fucking shit excuses. We haven't toured in 9 years. So don't be like, oh, I'll just come to the next one. There is no next one. I don't know how many times I have to say that. We have nothing planned. We're also nervous about talking about doing anything in the future, just in case one of us goes, nah, fuck it, that's it now. So we will not be having that conversation till after this tour. So depending on how well this tour goes on to be the decider in whether we tour again ever, not even this year, like ever, like 2025. We might do so. I don't know yet. So make this tour fucking good. Stop giving me shit excuses and come to the fucking tour. February 19th to the 24th. Go to theblackoutband.com. The tickets are all there. Tidy. Fucking hell, man.
I'm giving you a round of applause there because that was like a presidential election speech. I really much enjoyed that. But it's true. With all the news lately of even more bands breaking up, Umeet 6, for example, yep, and people being gutted about it and then sharing all the memories of wishing, yep, they were still a band, go and see your favorite bands while you can, man, because otherwise, yeah, you wait 9 years for them to do a tour and then still moan about it.
Fucking hell, it's mad. It's mental. But yes, listen, our fucking scene is currently falling apart. Look, Jordan Fish fucking skedaddled from Bumth. Fucking Umeet 6 are fucking knocking it on the head. Ben Bruce has gone fucking walkabouts from fucking Asking Alexandria. It's all fucking happening. So why not? If you've ever liked the Blackout, come and fucking see us for the love of God. Also, get there fucking early to come and see all the bands. We have handpicked the openers and the main supports ourselves. Please, please come and see them. They're fucking brilliant.
And one thing about this tour I did want to mention. Obviously, every single week we mention our Patreon community at patreon.com/sapnin. Do head over there and subscribe. It is honestly the best way to support this podcast and helps us continue this thing going each and every week. But on these shows, I'm actually organizing official pre-party Patreon meetups at all of the dates. So if you're going on your own, if you need some more friends, if you want to hang out with people who like this podcast, I'm going to be organizing official things through the Patreon where you can go and hang out and go in the before the gig and then go to the gig with each other and just have a lovely time. And I don't know if anyone cares, but I'm also going to be at the majority of these dates promoting the podcast, going to stand at merch in between some of the sets, going to hand out some stuff. And I've got surprises for people if they can prove to me that they listen to the podcast, a little gift. Whoa. So there's so much going on at Sapnin Pod on Instagram and Twitter to keep up to date with everything. And at @MHRichards_ for mine if you've got any questions. But patreon.com/sapnin is the place to be for all your pre-party needs.
Do you know what? And this has literally just come to me now. This isn't a preempted thing that we've decided before the podcast. This is rogue. I am going wild. I'm going, woo-hoo, as usual, I'm going hard left. Do you know what? Let's give away a pair of tickets to somebody in the Patreon who wants to come to a show. Yeah, let's find a way to do that. And then over the next week on the Patreon, we'll work out how to give away a pair of tickets to someone who wants to come, because I've seen people in there. Some people are coming, some people have bought tickets, and then some people also can't get there anymore. So, and some people can't afford it, which is fair enough. It's a shitty time of year, and we do have the worst possible government we could possibly have at this time. So I understand that. So yeah, let's, if there's someone in the group
why not,
who's interested, let's do a thing to win a pair of tickets for a show. Everyone apart from Cardiff, because Cardiff is sold out, and I cannot stress enough that the guest list is full. And by full, I mean too full. I'm hoping a lot of people I know die before the show. Oh, wow. So.
Woo! As long as one of them isn't me. Ha-ha! Anyway, I'm not going to let you answer that. We love everyone. Thanks for this. And let's get straight into it. This is Hannah and Blair of Dead Pony telling you all about themselves and why this tour is going to be a fucking laugh.
Is it though? Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's going to be fucking brilliant. I can't wait.
Sapnin!
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Sapnin! Hello.
Sapnin!
There's always one. Well, this week's guests were going to be the mighty Dead Pony. We've got Anna and Blair with us, but Blair has just ruined it by going for a hello rather than a sapnin. And he's Scottish, so he should have gone with a sapnin, but because he hasn't, he's let us all down. So that was this week's podcast. Thank you very much for listening. Check us out on... But yes, Blair and Anna are with us. How are you guys?
We're grand. It's so friggin' cold up in Glasgow just now, but we're doing good.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. I've had a day, but I'm having a good time now.
Feel free to unload. We're here to listen as well as talk bollocks. So
So one thing that happened today, I was driving down like a country road at like 60 miles an hour, and there was a lorry in the other lane coming towards me, and then a van tried to overtake the lorry, and I had to just slam on the brakes and just pray that this van like pulled in time to overtake the lorry, and that was pretty terrifying.
Wow. Yeah, that's awful.
Yeah.
So, yeah, nice one, Morg. Thanks, Morg, for bringing up the trauma of today.
I wasn't driving in Glasgow today. It's a hell of a commute to get back.
I guess technically we won all now with you saying hello in the beginning instead of sapnin. Morg, I'm bringing it past. Your recent trauma. Yeah, won all. Yes, now we can start. Now we're starting. Here we go.
No, but guys, I mean, there's a lot we want to talk about throughout this conversation, but really 2024 is gearing up to be a very exciting time for you. I mean, obviously you've got the debut album coming out in April. You've already been announced for loads of really cool festivals in the summer. But to start, you've got the unfortunate disappointment of touring with Sean and a bunch of other boys from Merthyr Tydfil. how are you feeling? How are you gearing up for this tour? How are we feeling about it so far?
I'm pretty excited. You know, just before I get into this, I just have to say that, and this makes me sound like a weirdo, but the Blackout was actually the first band that I ever seen live without my mum. And I'll tell you why. Now,
was it, was it because you came to see somebody else?
Yeah, it was.
It was? That's always the case. I'm never the fucking princess. I'm never the bride. I'm always the whatever the saying is. Anyway, sorry.
Well, I went nailed to see it. My Chemical Romance when they played in Glasgow, and you guys were supporting them. And I remember thinking, oh my God, this band are fucking amazing. And now we're getting to go, we're going on tour with you. So that's pretty cool. But, anyway, 2024 is going to be a good one for us, I think. I'm looking forward to the tour. That's going to be our first kind of bunch of shows back since like last year. So it's going to be good.
Yeah, we've been, we've devised. So basically, like at the start of every year, we spend like 2 weeks in a rehearsal studio and come up with like a new live set. So we've been deep in rehearsals, got a whole new live set, some really cool new things going on. And what else was I going to say there? Yeah, usually we do like a fun gig, like a really small gig before we jump into like any kind of like bigger Dead Pony gigs. We'll like change the name of the band and we'll just go in and do like a random local gig, just kind of test out the new set. But this year that's not going to happen. So we're just jumping straight into this like ambitious new live set without any testing of it live, straight into the tour with you guys. So hopefully it goes well, fingers crossed.
You're really instilling us with confidence, Blair.
I'm not worried. I'm concerned.
Yeah, it's only Manchester Academy. Like, come on. Like,
yeah. Yeah. At least you'd have a lot of room to move about, I guess. I don't know. I don't know. Yeah. But yeah, I can't wait. I cannot wait. It's going to be great. I remember Johnny Phillips put me onto you guys from SJM concerts. I don't know if you
love Johnny.
I don't know if you were unfortunate enough to have met him.
Our little Welsh goblin friend. He always just crops up somewhere and insults us and then runs away again.
Yeah, that's it. He'll do that. Johnny to a T. Yeah, he is literally a troll. That's basically what he is.
Yeah.
He's a human troll who just goes on giving people shit. The first time I ever met him, he was a promoter in Cardiff, and I gave him one of the Blackout CDs. We were called 10-Minute Preview at the time. And I said, oh, check us out. We're a band from Merthyr Tydfil. And I saw him a week later, and I was like, oh, I'll give you a CD last week. And he was like, if I was you, I would stop playing music now. You're never going to get anywhere. And then cut to about 5 years after that, he was our manager and we had the ability to sack him whenever we wanted. But yeah, he put me onto you guys. And then obviously Amy, who looks after you, I got in contact with her. And yeah, just very, very excited to have you guys. And yeah, I love what you're doing.
Thanks.
It's man, cheers.
This new album, Ignore This. Tell us about it. How many songs? Where did you write there? Who produced it? Go wild.
And I go crazy.
I was going to say, you can take the lead on that.
Well, I will if you want, but on you go.
Basically, the new album that's coming out in April, or debut album, I should say, is 16 tracks. And we recorded it last year. We wrote it sort of at the start of last year. Me and Blair wrote the full thing. And it was produced by our very own Blair.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah, we hired out like this little creepy residential studio with like a little cottage attached in like the kind of Scottish Highlands, and recorded it there. And like the first couple of days, it was like amazing because we were all there. We're having fun. We're playing games. We were like having, you know, rum and wine. It was great. And then we realized that we were like stranded in the middle of nowhere for 2 weeks with only us. The only way to get in and out of the cottage was to drive. So it was literally like we all ended up hating each other by the end of it, but we've written, I think, one of the best albums of all time. So
yeah, it was like, you know, it was like day one, Liam didn't do the dishes. Let's write a song about that.
Yeah. Yeah, so yeah, if you go through the track listing, it's like number one, we're all friends. Number two, someone forgot to wipe the bathroom down. And like by number 16, it's like, I want everybody else dead. Capital letters. Yeah. It's getting more aggressive as you go on.
I mean, like, it's honestly not far away. I mean, like, okay, like a lot of the songs we had, like we kind of went in to the album recording process with like four songs totally written and then like 12 ideas, and the ideas were all like fleshed out on the day, and I totally love recording that way, because it's like, I think like the best time to record a song is the minute, like literally the minute you write it, because you just capture like the energy and the vibe in the room at the time, and it's always, and like that always seems to translate really well. Like if you just record it as soon as you write it. So like we just like trusted in the fact that we knew that we'd be able to do that like over and over again. And like it totally worked out, man. And like it meant that like at the end of every day we kind of like felt buzzing about like, oh man, we've just made this really cool thing today. And like we would have like a rough bounce and we'd listen to it over and over again and message Amy being like, Amy, you're not ready for how amazing you're going to be. But yeah, no, it was a total buzz, man. But yeah, at the same time, it was like a total like hell pit mixed with like, you know, which you hated. And then, but every day you kind of made this cool thing. So that was like the redemption.
Nice.
Well, it sounds as well, being in a stranded cottage, a bit like a horror film at times.
It definitely was. That is accurate.
Yeah, and I think like a lot of our songs are kind of like kind of have that like horror or like post-apocalyptic like vibe to them. And I think that was probably quite, I mean, we love movies, so it's like influenced by movies, but I think a lot of it probably was like influenced by our surroundings and the fact that we were just like all cooped up together for 2 weeks and like stranded. So there was one pub that was a 20-minute drive away. And yeah, it was just like ridiculous.
Which we went to twice.
Yeah, we did.
Did you see any UFOs while you were there? I'd like to think that it was ghosts. Pitch black around where you were. Ghosts, or ghosts, surely. That's true. Yeah. Anything anything strange, none. Paranormal?
Okay, well.
Oh,
okay.
Wait. Blair hasn't told you, Anna. Here we go.
No. Anna will remember this, right? So in the place we stayed, okay, it's literally in the middle of nowhere. And there's a, it was like a small house that had rats or mice.
Mice.
And then the studio was like a wee small separate thing over here. But there was a visitor's book, and the place usually gets used for like bands who just go there for like a weekend just to like drink beers and like play whatever they want and just have fun. But you know, but we were actually doing like an album, which was the first time it had ever been rented for longer than like 5 days at a time. It was like 2 weeks we had it. But there was a visitor book, right? And you guys will know, like, people in bands just have the most horrible sense of humor. You can imagine, like, the visitor book was just full of like stuff to just freak you out. Like, oh, if you meet, you know, if you meet William, and like William's like a made up guy, and there was just all this like lore in the visitor book, like, oh, like they were like telling us about like animals that like didn't exist, and like, don't sleep on the bottom floor, like a screaming woman was murdered there. It's like,
oh, wow. Okay,
yeah.
And then one night I slept on the bottom floor and just like did not get a minute's sleep the whole night.
But you got to think, if a woman's being murdered, she's most likely screaming at the same time. Yeah. So,
yeah. That's true. Yeah.
Silent murdered woman. Funny, even scarier. She's just taking being stabbed. Like. But, yeah.
I thought you were going to say press record if that happens and just use it. But then, yeah.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. Think of that.
Mix.
Yeah.
Mix of screams, I guess. That's very morbid.
Yeah. Imagine you were listening back to the mixes and you were like, Wait, I think there's something on that kick drum, and you had to listen back, and it's just a woman just screaming.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. There she is.
Oh, my God. That would be creepy as fuck.
Yeah. William's ex-wife. Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Fucking, so, like, album two is probably going to be done somewhere else.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like a high-tech, modern...
Yeah,
city dwelling apartment.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. From, yeah,
we're gonna
absolutely.
Go to like Barcelona or something to record the next one.
Yeah, you've paid your dues there with the first recording. It sounds like, but you said there about being really into to films and movies, and I feel that being connected to the album cover with all the VHSs or something. I really noticed what was behind that. Was it just having that love and wanting to showcase it in a different artistic way, or?
Kind of, like, we've always been incredibly inspired by, like, film, and I think that, you know, a lot of people write about their surroundings, right? And a lot of people write about, like, political things and whatever, and that's amazing. But I think that we like to kind of, like, try and create another world for our fans, where the songs can be relatable, but to me, I want my songs to sound like they've been plucked out of like a Quentin Tarantino movie. And we wanted this album to really reflect that. Like, we wanted it to feel like you were flicking through your old DVD collection, and like every song on the album is like a song from a different like type of movie. So there are songs that are kind of like a bit cooler and have like a bit more like, you know, rhythm, and then there's songs that sound like they could be like at the end of a zombie apocalypse movie. Like, there's just like a whole range of sort of like movie genres kind of like hidden within the album.
I would ask you to name every film directed to a song, but there's 16 of them, so we'll be here for all night.
I thought you were just going to say name every film, right? Since the beginning of time. Wizard of Oz. Ghostbusters. Ghostbusters 2.
You know what? Like, it's not like every song is related to a film, but there is like, I guess there's probably like, I guess like four or five that are like very strongly related to films. Like, we have one. So like we did an EP before called War Boys that was all like Mad Max references, which was really cool. But on the album, there's like a song that was inspired by The Matrix, and like I did like a spoken word thing in the bridge, and it's like Morpheus talking to Neo when he's going to take the red or the blue pill. And then there was one song that is like really like we absolutely love. It's called Bad Girlfriend, that was inspired by the film Natural Born Killers with Woody Harrelson and Julia Lewis. And then like in the bridge, we were going to do this bit where it's like either like Woody Harrelson or Juliette Lewis like writing a love letter to the other one that's also trapped in the same prison, but they're not allowed to see each other. And that was going to be the bridge. And like, I had this like whole thing written out, but like we just like could not actually make it happen, because it's like, okay, so like we actually now need to pretend I either need to be Woody Harrelson or it needs to be Julia Lewis. And we have to like do their accent and like nail this whole thing we've written out of like what they'd say to each other. And it's like, ah, okay, like this is just like, it's not a vibe. So let's just like cut it. Let's go like, we'll just go back into like a chorus. But like the song is still cool and it has all these references to it. But
yeah, it's like totally like that's one of the songs that we have that like directly references the movie. Like there's a part in it that's like, I've got my baseball bat, Mickey, get your gun. And then in the background, I go, Mickey, shoot him.
Nice. Nice. Well, surely Amy could have somehow got in touch with Juliette Lewis.
Dude, who knows?
Well, Amy did get in contact with someone else for another song, and they totally tied it.
Bastards.
So then it was after that happened, it was like, do you know what, man? Like, this is our first album. Like, let's just do everything ourselves. And then, like, if in the future, if anything comes up, we'll definitely do it. But it was kind of just like, we got to that point where it was like, it just felt, you know, like, first album, let's do it all ourselves and, like, make a big statement. And just, like, it's going to be its own thing. And we're not going to have to. And I guess that's why, like, we produced it ourselves as well. It was me that produced it. It was just like, we didn't want it to feel like some like product that had been like thrown around and everything. It was just like our thing, do you know?
How long have you been producing and recording in? Have you done much else?
Well, so I kind of like have been, I always think about it as like, whenever I started playing guitar, when I was like 15, 16. And then I got a laptop when I was like 19. And as soon as I had a laptop, I was like recording every guitar riff I wrote and like trying to like make it into a song. And I did that for like years and years. I only started being like a proper like music producer, I guess, like 2 years ago, just working with bands in Glasgow and stuff. But I have been doing it for like a long time. I've always like imagined guitar, like playing guitar, as being like, how would this sound as a big thing at the end of the day, like as like a final, yeah, a final thing.
Nice.
And going back to lyrics, I mean, Anna, how important is it for you blurring those lines between kind of personal things and reality, two different themes? Because yeah, I always enjoy when I hear someone talk about the meaning of a song, but it is nice when there are songs that can be interpreted in so many different ways if you don't really know what it's about.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think like that's one thing that we like about our songs. We try not to have them being too specific. There are some songs that we have that are like incredibly like literal, like MK Nothing, for instance, is literally about an assassin who is like MK Ultra mind controlled to go out and like kill bad guys. And like, I feel like there's maybe not a lot of ways that that could be interpreted. Maybe for some people there are. But I think for a lot of our songs, like, okay, this song might be written about a zombie apocalypse, but someone might interpret that to be like, that's about the state of the world, or that's about the state of the government, or that's about, you know, climate change, or like whatever. Like, I think that our songs can be interpreted in like a lot of different ways. And we also have like a couple of songs that like, to me, like are quite deep. Like there's a song on the album called I Might Die, and it's about this kind of like realization that I think we all have as we get like older, where we're like, you know, I could just die right now and like that would be it. So and that's what that song's about. So we have some songs that are like definitely more literal, but we also have songs that are like a wee bit more up for sort of like interpretation.
And with you guys, I feel like you sit in this weird Venn diagram of like emo, indie music and new metal. And I've seen so many people reference and just kind of compare certain bits to people from the likes of Nelly Furtado to Limp Bizkit to The Prodigy to Wet Leg to Avril Lavigne. I mean, how do you guys really see the band combining those different influences? Because
definitely not like Wet Leg.
Good. Good.
Well, I think that like there's a lot of truth in most of that like categorization. But I think that what we like to call it is new rock, because to us it's like, I think it's difficult to totally like pigeonhole it because it's so new, and I feel like our genre and the music we make does feel like almost like a new genre of music, because it is combining like pop punk, new metal, like pop, you know, more like just rock and roll, like there's like so, and like electronic music like The Prodigy, like there's so many influences that we have that I think we've kind of been able to like morph this like new fresh sound. So I always describe it as like if Nelly Furtado was the lead singer in Limp Bizkit.
Nice.
But we kind of just like call it, I guess the genre term would be new rock. Like that's how we kind of describe it.
Thing is though, like new rock is like something that we came up with. Like new rock isn't like something that we're like, oh, like that band's new rock and we sound like them, so let's call ourselves that. It was like,
yeah,
it was like, how can we call ourselves something that isn't like already a thing? Mm. And like new rock seemed like a cool vibe, right? So it's like, you know, like new metal influenced, but it's kind of like alt rock, and it's just like this thing, like new rock sounded kind of cool.
I lit up then when you mentioned new metal, just because I literally, that's what got me into music. And it for so long, even when I liked it was a bad word. Yeah. Like if you called a band new metal back in the day who were slightly new metal, they'd go fucking ballistic. it just warms my heart that it like it's come back around and people are like, yep, I'm new metal, like I'm into new metal, and I'm like, yeah, it never fucking left. Yeah.
Well, do you know, that is a total thing, right? When I was getting into like heavy music, when I was like say like 15, 16, at that point, like new metal was like kind of like hated and like, you know, you had like all these like elitists that were like, oh, fucking Limp Bizkit sucks so much. And like for that reason,
idiots.
Right? When I was like 8 years old or whatever, my mom told me this recently, like I used to fucking love Limp Bizkit and I was like the biggest Limp Bizkit fan as like an 8 year old, right? And then when I was like 15, 16, getting into that kind of music, because of all the shit I read, I like avoided Limp Bizkit. I was more into like, you know, like Avenged Sevenfold and stuff like that. But I also loved like System of a Down. Like I loved all the kind of weirder stuff. But okay, so now new metal is like kind of like cool again. But even now, even that, like the other day I saw like a YouTube short and it was like Fred Durst on stage in like 2023 or something. And there was all these comments like Limp Bizkit are fucking embarrassing. And I was like, hold on. Like I thought we'd gone full circle and Limp Bizkit was like cool again. But actually it's like, they still get hated on. It's just like, it is more acceptable though. Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What you got to think is a lot of those fucking metalers, right? It's like the fucking Download lineup now. Download was announced and people, I'm seeing a lot of people whinging about things like Busted and stuff like that. Those people will not be happy until it's Metallica playing every fucking slot, every fucking day of that thing. So like to slag, and the thing is, Limp Bizkit have come back, but that old dad fucking, remember he did the dad vibes and all that stuff?
Yeah.
They basically came back and went like, hey, we're embarrassing dads.
Yeah.
Here's some fucking new metal that you cannot deny is fucking excellent. That day,
totally.
that alien space monk over there is Wes Borland. And then they just start playing fucking Hot Dog and the old place goes, oh, I've completely, I don't give a fuck if he's wearing a wig, I'm having fun.
Yeah.
And that's the best bit about it. It's like literally not giving a fuck. Living life in a fast lane. Yeah. Man, in a fast lane.
I remember when I was like 15, 16 and everyone was hating them. Like this was when they were at like their most hated upon time. I remember seeing like an interview with Fred Durst. And this is before I even knew all like the kind of history with him and everything. And he was like, yeah, look, like, you know, we're not here trying to make like new albums with like cutting edge music. Like we're literally going to go and play shows, play the classics and just give people what they want. And I always thought like, that is fucking cool, man. Like you're not trying to be the next big thing. You're happy with the fact that like you had this moment in time with this cultural movement that was just sick. And like now you're just going out and regardless of how big the venues are, you're just going to be doing the same thing, like giving people like a big fucking energy moment.
Well, I was lucky enough to tour with them in 2012, I think it was. And they would play like five songs and then you'd be like, surely that's it now. And then they would play another 10 that would make any rock club go fucking mental. And you were like, oh no, I completely forgot. It's just all fucking hits. Yeah. It's unbelievable. Yeah. And yeah, non-apologetic, not giving a fuck. Brilliant, brilliant band. And Fred, if you're listening to this, we're going to do a podcast at Download. I'm going to make it happen.
Please, Fred, come on, man. Have any of Limp Bizkit or Nelly Furtado heard the cover you've done?
No, yet. I've been trying so hard to get them to hear it. I went through a phase of posting it every day on TikTok and tagging them. I sent it to Nelly Furtado on Instagram.
Have you sent it to Fred Durst?
I sent it to Fred Durst and no one has heard it. They dinged my messages, no one opened it. So I need to know someone who's in the know with Fred Durst so they can send it to him. I don't care if they need to put a USB through his front door with a song on it. Fred Durst needs to hear this song.
Definitely a bad idea. Yeah,
yeah, my feeling is Fred Durst doesn't know how to use a USB stick, so he'd just be like, oh, what the fuck? Send me the link, because I know the bastard sees my messages because he just likes them and never replies to them. So if you send me the link, he'll probably click on it and watch it, and then knowing my luck, they'll end up taking you on tour, and you'll end up being his best friend, and I still won't get an interview on my fucking podcast with him, but you guys will be best friends forever. No, I'll be super jealous.
Just sends lightning bolts.
Yeah, let's do that. Yeah, so I literally sent him a message, right, that was like paragraphs long going, I fucking love you. Are you the reason I fucking done everything I've done in music and why I got a podcast? Come on, my podcast. I will literally just rim you for an hour. That's all it's going to be. Double tap, like, he sends me two lightning bolts and then that's it. I'm like, come on, bro. I even send him a voice note saying, just reply with a voice note saying, I don't want to come on your fucking stupid podcast. That's all I want. Like, if I put that on the podcast, technically to me, then he's been on the podcast. Like, so, yeah. Yeah, let's make that happen. Yeah, send me the link after this and I'll send it to him. Okay. And we can both be disappointed that he sees it.
Yeah.
Probably enjoys it, but doesn't reply to any of us. The fact.
Exactly.
I wanna go back to a couple of little tour things to bring up, because I noticed last year there's a couple of little things you did online that really got my attention. And one of them was the fact that you went around the UK and rated local tap water.
That was Liam, our bassist. He is like, we call him the goblin because he's just like this little weird, you know, like little small man.
Green.
And he like collects, yeah, he like collects things and he collects little trinkets and he's like very strange, but in the best way, I love him. But we decided at the start of the tour, because obviously we know that Scottish tap water is elite and English tap water sucks ass. I've never tried Welsh tap water yet, so
it's good. It's good. Okay. Right? Apparently good, yeah.
But we thought it would be quite good because we were also starting the tour like up the north of, like up in the Highlands, and then the further the tour went on, the more south we were getting. So we finished the tour in London. So we thought it would be like interesting to like rate the tap water from like the Highlands down to London. And I think that Glasgow might have won, but you know what? This is actually our first time ever going to Wales. So we'll have to do it again for this tour coming up, and we'll see like how it, but I don't think it'll be better than Glasgow.
It pretty much just like degrades as you go south.
Yeah, it
does. Yeah, of course.
It's like the purity is worse and worse.
Do you remember one time we were at the Great Escape for a weekend and we all ended up getting really unwell because we were drinking the tap water?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Like, I mean, we all,
anytime we go anywhere and we drink the tap water, we get ill now, though.
Yeah, like, we're such, like, little princesses about tap water because our tap water is so fucking good. As soon as we have anything that's, like, slightly metallic, we're like, ugh, and then we're being sick for days.
See, everyone thinks backstage is rock and roll and fucking cocaine and going wild.
No.
And you're all rating where was the better tap water.
Checking the pH levels, looking at putting it up to the light. Yeah, oh, unbelievable. I can't wait. Yeah, I can't wait to see Dead Pony's laboratory backstage just testing the waters out.
Yeah.
I've also written down, was it Liam you said was the goblin?
Yeah.
Liam.
I've also written, don't leave trinkets around Liam. So there you go. Just in case we bring it. Yeah, if we bring any trinkets on tour with us.
It's so funny because we'll be in the van, right? And we've been driving for hours. You know, I might have like half a packet of peanuts or like a single banana. And I'll be like, does anybody want this banana? I'm not going to eat it. I'm just going to put it in the bin. He'll go, I'll have that for my inventory. And he just like... and he just like collects things. So like if you have like a half a packet of chewing gum or like half a drunk, I don't know, Capri Sun, Liam will take it and add it to his inventory.
More than that though, like every time we do a gig in the green room, Liam is just getting the entire fridge, all the snacks, he's taking everything home with him.
Fair play to him, yeah. Best thing to do, I think, is just, yeah,
it sounds like he cleans up after himself, so at least like...
Yeah, that's not bad.
You might be the cleanest band post like leaving a venue thing in that case. I don't...
Do you know what?
Oh, yeah,
that is probably true. We're all
we always been our empties, and
we're all kind of like fans of like Japanese culture, so we do clean up and stuff. We are a clean band.
Yeah,
nice.
There we are.
Ah, good.
Sean's happy now. You know?
Yeah.
No fees. No fees.
No
left for that.
Yeah. No Yeah, no extra cleaning fees in Deadpool. He's dressing room. Great, thank you.
I feel like the four of us should do a video when you at the Cardiff date, though, and like present you Welsh water and just to film the reaction.
Yeah.
Maybe we should make that a thing.
Yeah.
Watch us. Yeah. We should like film you like being sick in Wales.
Yeah, we should film poisoning you guys. That would be brilliant. That would be great content for us. Yeah. If you can, if you could be instantly sick on command, that'd be excellent.
You should give us the Welsh water, right? We drink it and we're like, and then beam it out to the crowd in Wales before we go on stage. Just like, be like, oh, this is so disgusting.
I can't believe these freaks drink this shit. And then you come out on stage like, that's not a bad idea. I'm trying to think, have you ever done that? Yeah. Have we ever had an intro that's pissed off the crowd before we've gone on? I know we tried several of them, but yeah. No, I don't think we have.
It's not a bad idea. How did you manage to not piss off Limp Bizkit before going on stage? I've heard everyone pisses off Limp Bizkit when they play with them.
Well, it wasn't so much them we pissed off as in like their crowd. Like, so basically, after a couple of dates, the bassist, Sam Rivers, how dare I even have that blip of a moment where I forgot his name for a second. Sam Rivers, one of the greatest bassists of all time with his glowing up light bass. He would watch us and he said, I can't get over how well you're doing with our crowd because normally they just get booed off. Like all the support, he's like, we can take rappers, we could take bands or whatever, and they normally got booed off. But I went into it as in, genuinely, I don't give a fuck about any of you watching us, right? I'm you. So after this, when I'm done with this set, I can come down there and turn around and watch Limp Bizkit.
Yeah.
Like, I don't, and they seem to like really vibe with my, I don't give a fuck if you like us or not. And then I think it did also help that we had a song called Spread Legs, Not Lies.
Oh my God.
Yeah, we had a song called Spread Legs, Not Lies. And we turned to Sam one day and we were like, how come you're not playing Pollution off the first album? And he was like, because you were playing it. And Spread Legs, Not Lies is literally the same riff as Pollution. But he knew this. And didn't stop us from playing it either, which would, you know, he could have gone, can you not play that? It's too close to ours, you robbing bastards. But yeah, they were wicked. They were fantastic in the end. And nice. Yeah, absolute dream come true. So I hope it happens to you too. And if it does happen to you too, I'm also coming out on tour with you. So
another thing I did notice as well, I wanted to bring up was, Anna, you actually spent the one tour recently writing love letters.
Yeah. And
giving it with a rose to a random fan.
Yeah.
What was all that about?
So we had this song called All Dressed Up for Nothing that we played live, and it's like a kind of sad song about like being in love and then sort of like feeling like you know this person so well and them doing something that like really upsets you and not knowing how to like confront that situation. And I just thought like there's so many people that love us playing this song live and there's so many people that like connect to this song that I want to do something like for a fan that they will like appreciate so much. And I had this idea of like just writing a letter and throwing it into the crowd, and then I was like, it'd be so nice if like I attach it to a rose and I spray it with my perfume and like we make it this whole big thing where I walk into the crowd and make eye contact with them and give them this rose, and it turned into this big thing. Like fans every night were like, oh, who's getting the rose tonight? And there was actually one night that I forgot to take the rose out with me, and it was in the Louisiana in Bristol, yeah. And I forgot to take the rose out with me, and I went up to a girl and I like held her hand and I was like, please just wait here. And then after the show, I like ran into my dressing room and got the rose and I gave it to her. I was like, I'm so sorry, this is for you. And I think she was quite confused because she didn't see the TikTok video. So she was just like, what the hell is going on? But but it was like a nice wee thing. And like so many people like really loved just that like wee personal connection. Cause I love doing that. I love like going into the crowd and like onto the barrier and like making eye contact with our fans and like it almost seems like you get to know them when you do that.
And this is a good time to bring this up. The new set doesn't really have that. We'll need to think of something.
Yeah, that's true. The new set is a wee bit more, like, so we don't have that song in it anymore, but the new set is a wee bit more high energy and, like, it's more a consistent, like, performance where there's not as many lulls. But I think there'll still be a lot of, like, fan interaction and, like, you know, that kind of, like, connection that we get from the crowd.
Maybe you could do that during the opener.
This sounds like a conversation that we should have in rehearsals.
No, I'm right now. Yeah. Come on, it's fine.
Oh, I reckon you guys should just run over by about an hour and just go into the band, the headline band set, and fuck them pricks off. They seem like wankers anyway.
No, our set time is now going to be the exact same every night. It's guaranteed. Yeah. It's 55 minutes, right? That's it. Yeah.
Is it? To be honest, I have no fucking idea. I don't know how long we are playing. I don't even know how long we've got. I should probably look into that. Yeah.
No, it's gonna be. We're a half hour set. I'm sure half hour set every night. Bang on.
Lovely stuff. Yeah, I could because I've got no idea what we're playing.
You've panicked him. You've panicked him. Yeah, he's.
Yeah, look. Yeah, I've just gone from the conversation. Yeah. I'm just like, what are we gonna play?
You're like, oh fuck, we should play rehearse.
Well, we haven't started yet. That's the thing. It's like it starts Sunday. Yeah, God, it starts Sunday. Yeah. Well, we did last year. So we did like June last year, did all of that.
Oh, you're fine.
Fine. Yeah. But no, we did a show in December. We did December the 30th, where we did a super long, too long a set, to be honest. It was like an hour and a half. It was way too many fucking songs. So it's just trim. It's just like lose a couple of them anyway, I think.
Wait, hold on then. So how long? I imagined your set would be a 90-minute set. Is that like the normal thing or?
I think it's going to be an hour and 15 maybe.
Right.
An hour and 20 because, yeah, we don't want to go.
Too far.
Yeah, our thing seems, I say seems to be, it. We basically don't want people to miss trains and that as well. So, like, okay. if we can cut off 10 minutes before the last train goes at 10:30 every fucking night. Do you know what I mean? They've got 10 minutes to get there and then it's up to them.
Yeah. But I guess, like, you guys are, like, a really high-energy set anyway. So, it's, like, getting, you know, 30 seconds into the first song, everyone's going fucking ballistic anyway. And
I hope so. I really hope so.
Do you know what, mate? We'll be there. We'll start mosh pits if you need us to. We'll be in the front.
No, my like, yeah, no, my like, it'd just be you two though. I know I'm going to go on and go fucking daft. So I don't know what the other five boys are going to do. I'd imagine stand there, looking at me knackering myself out within two songs. So. I can't wait. It's just going to be a fucking blast.
This is really how the sausage gets made, isn't it? Really, like,
yeah, this is what a weird phrase to use, but yeah, very much so. Yeah. This is how the sausage. Hey, listeners to the Sapling Podcast, this is how the sausage gets made.
That's a phrase. I haven't made that up. That's a phrase.
No, it is. Come on. Okay, it is. But it's a,
I've never heard that before.
It's a weird one to use for talking about band and not the ingredients of a sausage. That's what I'm kind of get at.
That's how the riff gets organized. I don't know. Like,
that's how the show commences.
I was a bit surprised when you said sausage as well.
Yeah. Why is he brought bangers into it? Like bangers.
Let's swiftly move on from that, but as I mentioned, and you know, you talked about having that not really a genre and trying to make your own and not fitting into certain scenes, and like, how do you find it being a part of these tours with different audiences? Because the bands you've toured with before and the festivals you've played It's cool because it opens you up to a lot of different sides and you can go and play at a really indie festival or a really heavy festival. Like, how do you feel like you fit in between that? Like, is there certain things you do when performing to certain crowds or?
I think that, I think that like our sound, like you said, it does allow us to like kind of slot ourselves into like different, you know, genres. I feel like we could play Download and then the next day play Kendall Calling. You know, like, it is quite a versatile sound. I think that sometimes our stage patter kind of, like, changes a wee bit when we're playing to different audiences. Like, for instance, whenever we play Tramlines in Sheffield, it is actually quite an indie festival, but the crowds are always fucking mental. And I don't know if that's just Sheffield, but, like, they always go nuts for it. Yeah, I think they always just go nuts for it. So, like, we always, like, really encourage, like, mosh pits and, like, people to jump about and, like, really get into it. But there might be another time where we're playing a more kind of, like, laddie, like, a lad band festival where the crowd are, like, enjoying it, but they're not as, like, hyped up. And therefore, we maybe don't try and hype them up as much because they just kind of look at you as if, no, we're not starting to mosh pit or whatever.
I think the thing as well, Luana, like, even more basic than that, like, we have, like, okay, you know that thing, it's like, everyone, like, the, when people hear, like, screaming, that's when they, like, check out. Like, there's no one that, like, listens to, like, the instrumental of, like, a fucking, let's say, like, a metalcore band and is like, oh, that's so unpleasant. They're just like, oh, that's kind of cool and grooving. It's when the person starts screaming that they like, stop. So the thing is, like, we don't scream. We just, like, have, like...
Oh, too good for that. Yeah, just too good for that, is it? Yeah, all right, yeah. I get it.
I get it, scream.
Yeah, screamers haven't got any talent and they're all fat blonde idiots. Yeah, I get it, play. I get it.
I genuinely think, like, we have, like, riffs. I think, like, the riffs, like, all the rock people get on board with, and the fact that we're not screaming, it means that, like, indie fans or, like, pop fans can also be like, oh, this is cool. Like, this is a high-energy fucking band. It's like, there's not that divide of, like, oh, because I guess as soon as, like, there's, like, screaming or whatever, it's just like, all right, okay, then it's, like, kind of, like, boxed off. So I guess we kind of managed to fit into all these things, which still kind of surprises me now, like, because I feel like we are becoming, like, more kind of focused on our sound, but we still get, like, a very broad sort of, like, range of like gig offers and stuff in, which is really cool. And it's something that surprises, like, how the crowd reacts. Like, Anna, you'll know, like, we toured with Mother, who are like an alt rock band, but you would never think of, like, a Mother gig as being, like, a crazy gig, right? You'd think of it being like, kind of, like, a normal gig, I guess you'd say, right?
And their fans are, like, pretty young as well. Like, 12 to 17 is probably the age range.
Well, it's probably between, like, 12 and, like, 30 or 40, right? But the majority is between, like, maybe 12 and, like, 25. But those gigs, we would play and, like, play heavier riffs, and the whole, like, literally we'd be playing, like, 1500 cap venues in Paris, and the whole place was bouncing up and down, and it's like, this is insane. Like, we've never had a reaction like this, and it's not a big, like, kind of, like, hardcore heavy crowd. It's just, like, a bunch of kids going mental because they're just there to have fun. So it's like, the crowd thing, I think, is really interesting to, like, work out who you're playing to and how they react. And, like, there's a whole world going on there. And
yeah,
it is interesting.
But what I'd say is, don't stop playing those random gigs, though, those strange ones, because that's where you find, that's probably where we find a lot of our fans early on, is from playing just weird, strange gigs where you wouldn't expect us to be. And then those people are there and they're like, oh, I wish there was a new rock type band playing, and then all of a sudden you fucking rock up, and then they're just like, oh, well, what the fuck, this is exactly what I'm looking for. Or I've even, like, I used to be in a band that was more screamy than the Blackout is, called When Reason Sleeps, and we supported the Mad Caddies once, right, who were a ska punk band, and we thought, we were like, these fucking checkerboard trousers fellas are not going to enjoy us at all. We are sad. We're a sad, screamy band, and these people love fake happiness. So they're not going to like us. And it's one of the best crowd reactions we ever had, just because people weren't expecting it. And they were like, what the fuck are these nutters doing? And what's going on here? And yeah, I just say, this is my advice to everyone, just play fucking any gig, because you never know when the fucking, either the next dedicated fan comes from, or an opportunity, or someone was there. You never, like, You could play a family festival and it turns out fucking, I don't know, one of your favorite bands is taking the kids there that day or something fucking mad. You never know. Like, you never know. So yeah, keep it going up and just, yeah, keep fucking, just keep making a noise and getting out there. Like, it's awesome.
No, like, absolutely, man. I feel like when we started the band, we were kind of, or like me anyway, I was kind of more interested in like writing music than like playing it live. And like Anna's always been like really into performance. But I never thought in my own head that we were ever going to be like a live band. Like, and like I knew we were going to play live, but I never thought we were going to be like renowned as being like a really good live band. Like, oh, go see this band. I always thought we were going to be like that band that has like really good songs or whatever. And then I don't know what it is, but like recently, like I realized on our headline tour, I was like, fuck, we are like totally just like one of those bands now that everyone's like, oh, they're a live band. Like, man, go see this band live. They're amazing. And I'm like, how the hell did that happen? But I feel like every time we play, we're always trying to make it bigger and better and like really perform and put on a show. It's like so fun. Everyone that comes to see us on our headline tour is like, oh, I saw you at this gig. I saw you at this festival. I saw you supporting this person. Like, maybe like the odd person would be like, oh, I saw a YouTube video or I saw like, I heard you on the Spotify or whatever. But like, everyone was like, I saw you here. So I'm like, now I just say it's like to Amy, like, let's just do everything and like play every gig. Like, that's when we make fans, is just by playing stuff.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, as we start to wind down on the conversation a little bit, a few other things I wanted to bring up. We said how exciting 2024 is with this new album and just all these mad shows you're doing, but I always felt this time in the band's career is one of the most interesting because it's showing how far you come, but a lot of people are still discovering you for the first time. So is there anything you've noticed people kind of picking up or comments or anything that seems to be a theme from people discovering the band that stuck with you or just made you think a little differently or just being interesting seeing it out there compared to holding on to it?
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I think one thing that that people always say, and it's kind of coming back to what you said, Blair, is like how intense and like energetic our live show is. And a comment that I get literally all the time is like, wow, you're such like a reserved and like quiet person and like you're a wee bit shy, yet on stage it's almost like I have this like other personality that comes out and I don't know where it comes from, but I think that's one thing that people don't realise when they find us for the first time, like when they find our music online on like Spotify playlists or whatever, they don't realise how like energetic and intense our live show is. And yeah, I don't know if you've got anything to add to that, Blair, but I think it's also like when people find us at festivals, because I don't know like how you feel, but I think festival crowds can be like a bit hit or miss, because a lot of the time, in fact probably most of the time, when you're a band at our level, it's like for most people that's like the first time hearing you, so they don't really know the songs, and like they've maybe like had someone say to them like, oh, like go and check out this band, like got a bit of hype and like, you know, apparently they're good, and they come and then they're like, what the fuck, like where have you been this whole time? Like you're this amazing band and we had like no idea that you like existed, you know?
Yeah, I guess like that sounds familiar, like, you know, because I think like we have like we're not a band, I mean like in the same sense, but like we're not a band that's been like journeying for fucking ages. Like we started Dead Pony in like the start of 2020, but we'd been in bands before that and everything. So I guess like a bunch of people when they see us live, it's like, oh, I can't believe I've never heard you guys before. Like your show is amazing, whatever. But yeah, I was kind of struggling to think of something to say on that question, to be honest.
It's all good. It's all good.
I'm sure there's a good answer in there somewhere, but it is not presenting itself to me right now.
That's fine. You can rant about something else if you want. Just tell a joke or whatever.
The fucking the Middle East is fucked at the moment. And just like completely, Palestine's taking a fucking shoe in at the moment. Have you had any weird crowd reactions or weird shows that you've played on where it's been difficult to win the crowd over and then you've won it over? Or?
I've got a good one. I don't know if you've got a specific thing that came to mind, and I'm not, out of respect for this festival, I'm not going to name the name, right?
Oh, I'll fucking name it.
Okay. It was Bingley Music Festival.
Yeah.
I think I've done that.
Let's start. Where the fuck is Bingley, right?
Yeah, that's
first
true.
First of all.
Right, hold on. Pause. That was disrespectful to the residents of Bingley, right? We do.
We've said worse about different towns.
But Bingley itself, great people. But the festival, and I can tell you.
Bingley Music Festival was an absolute shambles. So we arrived, right? And it had been pissing the rain. It was so rainy. And I got in this this tractor buggy thing with this guy. And it was just like completely silenced for like 5 minutes. Then he just turned around to me and went, "Have you ever heard of the Yorkshire Ripper?"
Oh, no.
I was like, oh, no.
Peter Sutcliffe.
He went on this rant for like 10 minutes about the Yorkshire Ripper and how his granny knew him and all that. And I was like, oh, right. I was like, I think this is my stop. Like, I'm just going to get off. And like, I got off the fucking wee buggy thing and like ran to the boys. So I was like, oh, this guy's just for 10 minutes telling me about the Yorkshire Ripper. And then Blair, you can continue the story from there.
Okay. So that was like the introduction to Bingley, right? Was just like terrifying. Well, actually, okay. First things first, like we arrived on site. I know it was one of those ones where, like, I'm pretty sure we were like stood in the queue, like a bunch of punters waiting to get like accreditation and everything. And then trudged through like the swamp fields to get to our stage. And our stage was like not even like set up yet. Like they were just like, you know, building it, hammering away. And like this, like, stage manager dude was just stressed out his nut. And so our stage time was, say, like 3 p.m. and our sound check time was like 2:30. So like they allowed us to start soundcheck at like 2:49. So like it's like, but I, like we're kind of at the stage now where we're like, we're not gonna do like a shitty, really short soundcheck to then sound shit live and then have everyone be like, oh, this band suck. We're like, no, like we'll do our soundcheck. Like we always soundcheck fucking rapid anyway, but like we'll get it done before we start playing. And this guy was like, oh, like, come on, like you need to start now. Like you need to start now. And I was like, mate, no, we are like 90 seconds into a sound check. Like you need to give us at least a couple of minutes to try to get levels to get us all like getting stuff coming through before we start playing. And then basically me and the stage manager just started having like a proper like macho face off of just like, ooh, play. And I was like, no. and then so we like got it done. And then you know, he was apologizing, of course. When a gig starts like that, it's probably not going to get better. And you know, there was like a smattering of like 70 people there, and it was just like, oh god. And I, like, thousands of people like rushing past us to get like the best position for Noel Gallagher later on. It's like, yeah, this is like not going our way right now.
It is funny when you play festivals like that that are like so like badly organized and badly run, because I think that it reflects on the band, but it also reflects on the crowd as well. Like, I think the crowd were not happy to be standing there like knee deep in mud watching us, and we were not happy to be standing on stage performing to them, you know, like no yeah. one's happy in that scenario.
God, we are not getting invited back to Bingley next year.
I'm cool with that. I'm absolutely cool with that.
But yeah, does save you meeting Peter Sutcliffe's fucking distant cousin or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Fuck that. That's true.
Ooh, Brett Wright. What man in his right mind, obviously he was mental, talks to a girl, the first thing he brings up is the Yorkshire Ripper?
I know.
He may as well have gone, hiya, are you terrified for your life? You're not. You should be. You should be. What a fucking nutter.
So fucking weird. Yeah, so strange.
Hold on. There is another good story. But this one's not really a reflect. Like, this one's not even like a tough time. This one's not a tough time due to the crowd. This is just like a tough experience we had at a festival, right? And this is not down to the festival. The festival was great. This is down to our van dropping its arse out mid festival. We arrived at Anna. Was it Why Not Festival?
It was Why Not Festival.
Yeah, we arrived at Why Not Festival, and we had this van that was like, it was our. Yeah, I think it was our first time. It was, do you know what we were doing? We were trialing out this van before hiring it for our headline tour. So it was like a nice van for us, right? Because usually we get fucking, we get like, what are those things called in like Thailand? Like tuk-tuks? So we had this van, and we get to Why Not Festival, and it's like, it's kind of just like way out there. It's like way out in a field, and like, mm-hmm. I think it's Derbyshire. It's just right in the middle of nowhere. And we're driving through these fields, and I can't remember what happened. Something weird was happening with the van. It was like, it's giving out weird readings or something.
It was like, it said something to do with like the ads blue or something.
That was it.
And then it was like, the van will stop, the van engine will stop working in like 1 mile, or sorry, 20 miles. And then it was like 18 miles.
No. It was like the engine will stop and will not start again in like 600 miles. And we're like, all right, cool. But like, we've got this 600 miles is fine. And then we like stopped it and started it again. And it was like, 12 miles.
Yeah. 4 inches. Yeah. You've got no way.
And then I think we stopped it and started it again, and it just wouldn't start. So we went, we we're just stranded, right? We took all our stuff to stage and played our set. And by the time we played our set, like the AA was just like, yeah, we'll be there in like 2 weeks, mate. Just stay where you are. So then our manager, who you know, Amy, this was the most hilarious thing, right? Amy said to us, okay, I'm just going to walk to the next town. It's only a 40 minute walk. All right. And we're like, what is the next town? She's like, Buxton. And we're like, okay, cool. Like, didn't check it or anything. Just like, cool. Right. On you go. Have fun. So Amy goes away. She's like 20 minutes gone. And I'm like, do you know what? I'm just going to like check how far away is, like, how long is she going to be? And we check, and it's like a six hour walk.
What?
And we're all just like, what the hell? And we realize that she's just like been like so like laser focused on getting this done that she's like, yeah, I'm still
40 miles. Yeah, it must have been like, yeah.
Yeah, I think it was genuinely like that far.
Wow.
So like, we're trying to like call her and stuff to be like, you turn absolute bad man, come back. She's just like not answering. And then like, I think like an hour later, she just turns up at the site with like a brand new van, right? And she's like, she'd gone out. And as she was leaving the site, she had ran into like one of the headliners was sat in a taxi, or was like waiting on a taxi, and their taxi just arrived. And she told him the whole story. And like the headliner of Why Not was like, oh, do you know what? Go on, like take my taxi and just go to Buxton. And like, so thank God for that person. And she fucking went, got a new van, came back, and we were away.
I can't even remember what the band was.
I think it was... Wait, hold on. I'm going to Google it. But I have a feeling it was someone like the Zootons or something. Like a kind of like mid-2000s indie band.
It was the Zootons. That's who it was.
Is that who it was?
I think so, yeah.
They seem like nice guys from what I've seen online of them. That's... Oh, fair play to Amy, man. That is fucking managing fucking... A grid. Oh, I'll just be back. No, I've just got a 6-hour walk, and then I'll be back with a van for you guys. And she turns up with a new van, like,
yeah.
Well done, Amy. Dude, well done, Amy.
That is Amy all over, man. It's like negativity will not enter her aura. Just like, you know,
to be fair,
positive
though,
everything.
Great time, because basically our dressing room, they had to like get rid of us because there was another band coming in, because you only have the dressing room for like an hour before, an hour after your set. But we explained the scenario to them. They were like, right, we'll put you in this tent. They put us in the booze tent. So we had literally in the tent that was supplying all of the booze to all of the dressing rooms for the festival. So we just got so fucked up.
Oh god, hey, life in the band.
Yeah, I hope we get the Zootons out on now, so to see if any of them remember that.
Yeah.
Do you remember ever being stuck, yeah, just going, oh yeah, do you remember the time you were stuck at Why Not Festival for a while because your taxi had fucked off with somebody else, and they were like, oh yeah, I fucking hate that festival. I know who it was now. Yeah, I was expecting you were going to say
it was either the Kaiser Chiefs or Scouting for Girls.
Oh,
I think it was Kaiser Chiefs then.
Because I'm just looking at the lineup now, and those are the two options that have
been. I don't think it was Scouting for Girls. I think it was Kaiser Chiefs.
Oh, Ricky and the boys. They predict a riot. Nice. I thought you were going to say Amy. Yeah, she came back with a guy in a cart who had just been talking to her about the Yorkshire Ripper the whole time. She found the same guy. Unbelievable.
No, it's just like all northern men are just obsessed with talking to women about the Yorkshire Ripper.
Yeah.
That's brilliant. Do you know what? I can't wait for Manchester for the first day, because that's how I'm going to introduce myself. I'm just going to come up and be like, hey guys, do you guys know anything about the Yorkshire Ripper?
You should totally do that. You should go on stage and your first line should be, if you ever heard of the Yorkshire Ripper.
Oh, people are like, this fucking blackout, he's fucking gone mad in his old age. Yeah, he's talking about fucking Big Pete to start the show. Mad luck.
Well, fingers crossed you won't have any more mad situations on this tour. But guys, honestly, it's been great to meet you and get this chat in the bag before the tour. I know Sean's extremely excited to have you guys on. I'm excited to watch you guys a bunch of nights as well. And yeah, just thanks for taking the time, and excited to see you play in a couple of weeks.
Oh, thanks.
Amazing, guys. Thank
I'm
you so much.
Super, super excited for it. It's going to be great.
Yeah, I can't wait. It's going to be fantastic. Thank you again for coming on. And everybody, check out Dead Pony and come and sing along at the end of the month, please. Please, please come along. Please come on, for God's sake. But yeah, thank you, guys. Thank you.
Cheers, man.
Thank you. Bye.
You're listening to Sammy Podcast! Yes! Woo. That was Scotch, New Rockers. They won't like the fact I call them Scotch. Dead Pony. They are Scottish. I know, man. I know how angry it makes the Scottish people, and that's why I do it, man. But yes, that was the lovely, lovely Anna and Blair of Dead Pony, who I cannot wait to spend a week with very, very soon. And I cannot wait to watch them every night, because they are class.
Yeah, and I can't wait for them to update us on Welsh tap water and everything else in between. But they have such a great reputation for being a hella fun live band. So make sure you get to these shows early, catch the opening bands all different on all of these dates, and then rock your socks off with Dead Pony, and then cry emo nostalgia with the blackout. It's fun. It's fun. I'm very much looking forward.
You don't have to cry, like, you can enjoy yourself.
You can. I'm not. Well, sometimes crying is a form of enjoyment for emo, I guess. I don't know. This is getting too deep back here.
I don't know if we've got any songs to cry to. What do you mean? Like,
we've got some sad songs.
Have we?
Hope is all we have and all we'll ever know. That's quite deep, man.
Yeah, but it's meant to be like a, hey, sorry, man, we've managed to make the album now because you fuckers.
Aye, true, aye.
Well, yeah. No, it's going to be great. Check out Dead Pony, check out The Blackout if you've never heard The Blackout. And also opening the shows, in Manchester we have Mouth Culture, who are fantastic pop, almost indie rockers, I guess, but fucking it's class. Check it out, Mouth Culture in Manchester. In Glasgow, there's a band called New Shapes opening up. They're good. Then we have, in Birmingham, we have Lunas, which is Connor Ball of the Vamps' new project. And then in Cardiff, we have our friends in Delore. Check them out. They are awesome. And then last by no means least, in London, we have Fangs Out opening. Birmingham's answer to all of those fucking ripping bands like Every Time I Die, Cancer Bats, you know, all of them lot, like all them fucking good rippers. I've gone fucking blank.
All the mosh bands.
Yeah. Yes. Check all of those bands out. I'll check Dead Pony out and then stay for the headliners because it's me.
Oh, it is. Oh, fuck. Right. Also, just want to mention, of course, Dead Pony's debut album, Ignore This, will be coming out April 5th. It is available to pre-order right now. And notice that Anna recently posted about taking part in the Edinburgh 10K in May, where she's raising money for Macmillan Cancer Support in memory of the loved one. So just thought maybe mentioning that, if you'd like to go and check out and support, the link is in her Instagram bio. So yeah, just sharing the love with all that. And talking about sharing the love, of course, our Patreon community is the best thing to ever come out of this podcast, and we love every single one of them very, very much. Now is the perfect time to sign up and get a part of the community, because you can all go to this tour together and have a giant laugh, and then meet each other for festival season. Just make your new best friends. If you head to the description of this episode, there's loads of names there that we thank. But as always, Sean is going to give a mahoosive shout out to the elite members of our Sapnin Podcast Patreon community. Those are the people in the top tiers.
Yes, we love everybody who's ever been part of Patreon. Thank you very much. It is literally the thing that keeps this going now. So yes, thank you very much to the top tier people. And they are as follows. Thank you very much, Kyla Wheeler, Mayumi, Paul Hirschfield, Scarlett Charlton, Dilly Califragilistic, Expella Grimwood, Tony Michael, Nathan Croshaw, Mitch Perry, Molly Malloy and James Bowerbank, Amy Louise, Kat Besant, happy birthday for last week, Alexandra Pemblitan, Jonathan Gutierrez, Jenny Robertson, Amy Dawson, Murray Grimwood, Scott Jones, Stuart McNaught, Ellen Southfield, Caroline Robson, Stephen Aston, Kate Puttack, Jenny Munster, Louis Cook, Carl Pendleby, James McNaught, Jason Aredia, John and Emma, Danny Eaton, Martina McManus, M. Evans Roberts, Evan, Sean Foynes, Ollie Amesbury, Emily Perry, Adam King of the Goss Parcel, Kalila Keane, Josh, someone broke into my house last night and stole my limbo trophy. How low can you go, Crisp? Thank you very much, Vicky, Fraser Cummins, Kyle Bounty Chocolate Fan, David Smith, and last by no means least, Connor Lewins, and family.
How low can you go? Because I was going to like that one. Low. I really like that one. But yes, thank you everyone for supporting us. Thank you for just listening to this podcast. If it's your first time or your 272nd time, we appreciate you so, so much. Let us know you've listened to this. Put it in your Instagram stories at Sapnin Pod. We'll share it. Just, you know, spread the love, will you? Tell people about this podcast. And we'll be back next week and every Friday with a very special guest and some good laughs.
Yes, good stuff. Good stuff. This was a fantastic episode. And it was great to meet them prior to tour, which was a good idea. Well, so well done, Morgan.
See, sometimes I'm not as dumb as I look.
Well, yeah, that would be fucking real hard to do, wouldn't it? Jesus Christ, you have to be like medically ill. Anyway, Sapnin! I didn't mean that, by the way. Or did I? I didn't. You're listening to Sapnin Podcast with Sean Smith and Morgan Richards. Thank you very much for downloading this podcast or streaming it, or I don't know what else you do with podcasts. Thank you very much.